Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
And now some frightening news involving Uber, twice in the same week. A Boston-area Uber driver is facing charges of raping a passenger over the weekend. Dada Mayanja is being held on charges that he raped his passenger near the Hatch Show early Saturday morning. Also, a South Carolina man is charged with impersonating an Uber driver and kidnapping and killing a college student. These incidents, of course, are raising questions about what ride-sharing companies like Uber and Lyft might do to improve safety. Janet Burns writes about tech, media, science, and culture, and she's a contributor to Forbes and Gizmodo. She joins us now via Skype. Hi there.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So why don't we just start off with doing a brief explainer on how Uber and Lyft vet their drivers?
Sure. Well, both of the companies for several years have used third-party background checks for all of their drivers. The companies, it's also worth noting, they have lobbied pretty aggressively around the country on various issues pertaining to drivers' status and their treatment, including the nature of these required background checks. And different states and municipalities have different rules around these, but the companies all use this third-party company called Checker, and Lyft has been exploring some other options as well to run their drivers and reference motor vehicle records and local, state, and national databases. And as of last year, after some pushback that they've gotten in this area, Uber and Lyft have also announced that they would conduct these background checks every year. I think Lyft was a little ahead in that. And Uber has also introduced a policy which they call continuous checking, where the company is notified if a driver is arrested and charged with a new crime, after which the company will review that charge and see if it affects the eligibility. And with very few exceptions, such as in New York City, where ride-hail drivers have to undergo the same background check standards as taxi and limousine drivers, these background checks do not include fingerprinting, and the companies have faced criticism in the past few years that their third-party checks aren't strong enough.
Hmm. Yeah, and I know you wrote about this in Massachusetts. You wrote about this back in 2017. There were, some 8,000 Uber and Lyft drivers who failed Massachusetts background checks after first being cleared by ride-sharing companies. So I'm just wondering, since 2017, we've seen improvements here in Massachusetts. Some of those loopholes have been closed. Is that right? And now there are these re-screenings of drivers to make sure that they're vetted properly. Is that right? Is that what's supposed to be happening?
Yeah, you know, it seems to be an ongoing conversation, and it's admirable that Massachusetts is taking this on. They, as of 2017, are running their own checks, but also discussing the fact that sometimes these background checks can, on the one hand, be invasive if they are continuous. Say they're, you know, monitoring a person's livelihood and legal status throughout the year, and also can preclude a group of workers from being Uber and Lyft drivers or in other driving industry roles just, you know, because of an infraction that they might have had a few years before. So it is, yeah, the companies are saying that they're working and seemingly taking steps to close some of these loopholes, and certain states and municipalities are trying to step in more and oversee these practices. But broadly, it's still left up to the two companies.
So are these incidents that we heard about this week, are these, would you say, sort of blips, and they're getting a lot of attention because folks aren't sure about safety and security measures in ride-sharing companies? Or would you say that this is a real problem and there are policies that need to be put in place and need to be enforced more strongly to make sure that there is better safety? What is it?
I would absolutely say that the companies and the governments that are working with them and charged with overseeing them need to take significant steps to improve safety for riders as well as drivers. And these two incidents have, served to be very startling and upsetting for people around the country for good reason. In Boston, you mentioned the driver who was charged with assaulting his passenger did not have a criminal record. So, you know, it evinces that background checks are not the answer here. And then, of course, in South Carolina, this student who lost her life was hoping to climb into her Uber, but in fact stepped the wrong vehicle. And, you know, it brings up the issue of how are we demarcating these vehicles on the road. The companies will send their drivers plastic decals that they can put up on the inside of their windshields and peel off when they are off duty. Drivers can also print out temporary paper ones, which I will often see around in New York, particularly for Uber. But now, as a result of that issue happening this week in South Carolina, there's a proposed law for illuminated signs and not just simple decals to make it even clearer which cars are ride-hail vehicles and which are just passers-by.
Right, but I'm curious about the background check issue. If in fact, it is something that's not coming up typically in a regular background check, what can these companies do? They can't really do anything.
Well, something that they have started to do, which is helpful, is including what's called an emergency button. And this allows riders and drivers around the U.S. and in a number of international locations right now to at least initiate a call with authorities through the app. On the rider's side, it will bring up information about the vehicle they're in. Unfortunately, they would have to verbally communicate those details to 911. The company Uber has also rolled out a sort of one-touch or voiceless app for sending their GPS information to authorities. But again, yeah, this is just a tool that unfortunately people would have to turn to once they're already in a dangerous situation. And drivers, as the numbers that we have so far will show, and General Bureau of Labor Statistics information about the driving industry as a whole show, that this is a very dangerous industry to be in, and that drivers could certainly use support from these companies in training for safety and in helping maintain safety on the road.
Okay. Janet Burns writes about tech, media, science, and culture. She's a contributor to Forbes and Gizmodo. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Stay with us. Coming up, revisiting the rent control debate in Massachusetts. We'll take your calls. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.